Okay, so where we were up to yesterday was that the Aruch HaShulchan was sort of challenging or investigating this strange minhag. Where did we get to that every male adult lights their own menorah? And he came up with the question which we left with yesterday, which is, Ma nishtano Chanukah from every other mitzvah? Where does the Ner Ishul Beisoy come from? Surely every other mitzvah, whether it's Kriyas HaMegillah, whether it's
Shkoyach.
You are now being transferred to broadcast.
Yeah. Surely every other mitzvah that we do, you get the mitzvah is a command, and it could be either deraisa or derabanan, and every individual is mechuyev in that command. So therefore, every person should light their own menorah. That's the logic. So where did the Gemara get the starting point of ne'er ish ubeisoy? And in fact, yeah, and the reason why he says that is because someone to criticize the Ramah, who says that we do what we do, which is that all the adults, all male adults, that means we're talking, obviously, if it's a child, then you could say that he's doing it mishum chinuch, yeah, a child of chinuch age, a boy, let's say, between the age of 6 and bar mitzvah, you've got a chiyuv of chinuch there, so there, obviously, he can light a menorah, and he should light a menorah, even if it was ne'er ish ubeisoy, and the balabais was only lighting, but the child would like mishum chinuch. What about other adults who live in the house? Somebody's got an unmarried brother who lives with him. He's an adult, yeah, who might not even be somach al shulchanoi, yeah. Or talk about older children. You've got yeshiva bochrim. Yeshiva bochrim probably in yeshiva, but schoolboys who are over the age of bar mitzvah, and the chiyuv of chinuch is debatable as to whether or not, obviously, morally you still have a chiyuv of chinuch, but the actual din of chinuch might only go up to the bar mitzvah. But nevertheless, why are they lighting their own menorah? And somebody wanted to say that if they're lighting their own menorah, maybe it's even a brocha levatola, because the Gemara said, ne'er shabesoy, that the man should do the lighting. The Rambam said the man should light 10 menorahs. Yeah, for 10 household members. Yeah, the Tosfos is also mashma that we're only talking. Yeah, the Gemara itself is vague. The Gemara says ne'er ish ubeisoy, ish ubeisoy. What does that mean? And then it says ne'er lechol echod echod, but it doesn't say who lights them. And then it says moiste v'aylech, but it doesn't say again whether or not it's only the balabos or not.
I think in London, we only, as a child, there was only one menorah for every year. It used to be, growing up before the war, there was only one menorah, each family lit one menorah.
Was there, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Nothing to do with poverty, a shortage of oil, shortage of candles? No? That was the minhag. Okay. Anyway, the Aruch HaShulchan was to turn it on its head. This is something to think about over the weekend. And he says, maybe like every other mitzvah, like Kriyas HaMegillah, like Shofar, like every other mitzvah that you have to do, every person has to do it himself. Maybe originally that was the chiyuv. And for some reason, they turned it around the other way around. And from the chiyuv that everybody was lighting a menorah, they switched it to the balabais only lighting the menorah. Exactly what the reason would have been for that, I'm not sure. Yeah, but he suggests maybe the original takana was that everybody should light their own menorah, and then for some reason they changed it that the balabais should do the lighting for everybody. In which case, it would never be a bracha levatola if you go back to the old minhag and everybody lights their own menorah. You couldn't argue that it was a bracha levatola. Anyway, our speaker's here, so we'll carry on Sunday.
Started the Torahway Northwest London Friday,
Special,
28th November, Rabbi Don Kaufman, Shlita, Yaakov, and the Imohas. District Torah and Sponsor, the Nishmas of Yitzhak Ben, Rabbi Shayohu, Zachon of Rochel Jatai, tomorrow, the Nishmas, our founder, Yosef Do Ben. Reb Shimon Michal Tzvi Itzkovitz of Zichrono Livrocho.
Coffee's there. Your tea, I mean, sorry. Okay, good morning, Leboisai, and a good night of Shabbos. We are almost at the peak of the shortest Friday afternoons, and I often get the feeling we need Kvitz Aderech to get through what we need to do and be ready for Shabbos. But what is Kvitz Aderech? The Gemara says, that three, the Gemara Sanhedrin says, that three people experienced it, which means only three times in history has this happened. Let me know about it anyway. And it's a very rare thing. Who are the three? They are Eliezer, who in 2 weeks ago said by Chayesora on his way to find the Shirach, he got to Aram Naharaim and Ir Nocho, to the river where he met Rivka. That was one Kvitz Aderech, that he left Hebron early in the morning sometime, and it got as far as Ramnaran, which is hundreds of miles away, by the afternoon. That was a Kvitsa Derech. Yaakov Vina Kvitsa Derech, we'll learn about that in a moment. And one more, Avishai. Now, I would suggest to you that Kvitsa Derech is the most spectacular nes in the world, in the whole of world history. It's much more spectacular than Kriyas Yamsu or Makkos Becholos. If I talk about Kriyas Yamsu, I can explain it to you. Look, here's a sea, and the water is half here and half there, and there's a path in the middle. Okay, I've never seen it happen. Probably you haven't either. But you know what? You understand what I'm talking about when I tell you Kriyas Yamsu or Makkos Becholos. You know, people just died out. We almost saw such a thing last year in our own lifetime when about 1,000 terrorists spread all around the country in one moment passed out because their pages. It was something like Makkos Becholos. And no seen attacker, an evil shlich, an evil malach. But Kvitsa Derech, it's impossible to conceive. No. I tell you, Eliezer is here and then he's there. But if you're here, you're not there. It's not possible to understand this miracle. It is the most spectacular miracle, probably. Now, let's look at in this week's Sedra about Kvitsa Derech. Start from the beginning of the Sedra. V'yetzi Yaakov me'Be'er Sheva, v'yelech Charono, that's a short passage, just six words, but this passage took 14 years, because it's in two halves. V'yetzi Yaakov me'Be'er Sheva means Be'er Sheva was where they were living, and he went from there to learn in Yeshivas Shem Ve'eva, as we're told in Rashi, and that was for 14 years. And after that, second half, Vayela Chorono. Now, just by the way, talking about Shem Ve'eva, it's a strange thing. Is Shem Ve'eva two yeshivas or one yeshiva? Now, in Pashas Toldos, when it describes Yaakov Avinu, it says, Oyhe Yoshev Oyholim, man of tents. Says Rashi, Oil, Shem, Oil, Eva. So it seems to be two yeshivas. I suppose he spent 7 years in one yeshiva, 7 years in the other yeshiva. I don't know. On the other hand, in this week's Sedra, when Rashi describes it, and the Patras told us, when Rashi at the end writes a long calculation of the years of the others, Rashi refers simply to Eva, yeshivas Eva, or Nitman yeshivas Eva. Doesn't mention. Pardon? Okay, the institutions carry on. I agree with you. For some reason, it mentions Ava, it doesn't mention Shem at all. So no. Whether one, whether two, whether one out of the other, I don't know. Anyway, besides the point. Vayelech Chorono. Now, says Rashi, three words over here, and they're important to us. Yotzo Veleches Lechoron. And what's Rashi saying? He went to Choron, yes. Vayelech Chorono. What do you mean? There is a principle here. Rashi mentions it particularly and most clearly in the end of Zosa Brocha, the Aliyah which the Chosn Torah gets, starts Moino Elohe Kedem. And over there, Rashi writes at length, which is a Gemara in Yevamos, that Hey at the end of a word is equivalent of Lamed at the beginning of the word. Based on the Pasuk in Yibum, that the Sia Eishes Ames Hachutso Leish Zor doesn't mean you can't speak to somebody outside, go outside to talk to somebody. It means there's no condition possible to an outsider other than the Yovam. It's not Chal the condition. It's learned from the Hey, letter Hey. Now, how does he learn from the letter Hey? It's like this. The difference between Choron, L'choron, and Chorono is L'choron. Rashi says this, the Gemara says it's the same, but it's not exactly the same. It means actually to Choron and in Choron. If he went to Choron, where is he now? He's in Choron. If he says Choron no, it means towards Choron. Vayelech Choron no, towards Choron. Because the story which follows immediately of the dream on the ladder was not in Choron. So he wasn't in Choron. He went towards Choron. And that's derived or seen clearly in Mo'ino Elohe Kedem. Why say Mo'ino? Should say Mo'in. The abode of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the high heavens. Why Mo'ino? Because when it has a hey at the end, it doesn't mean literally, it means something similar to it. So not literally into Choron, something like Choron, near Choron, somewhere towards Choron. And same with Mo'ino Elohe Kedem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a four-bedroom house in Northwest London as his abode. He's got a certain place which we cannot conceive in the high heavens. And that is Choro, that is Mo'ino, not Mo'in. Mo'ino, as if it was a Mo'in. What we think of as a Mo'in, that is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu resides in, has his abode. So Hey does not mean literally. So this story does not take place in Choron. What's coming now? And by the way, Seder Vayetze is one of two sedras, there are only two, which have no breaks at all. Mayaketz and Vayetze. And that's self-understood because each one of those sedras is a narrative all the way through, continuous narrative. So there's no space for making a new parasha. And I think you will notice it tomorrow during Kisa Torah. Each aliyah has a 10 seconds delay because they have the Balkar to find the right. Now, where is that starting place? It's
also, each one takes place entirely in Golos, doesn't it?
Not entirely. No, Mekates? Yes.
Mostly, but not entirely.
Well, in what sense is Vayetze one narrative? That it is the experience of Yaakov in Chutz Loretz. Vayetze went out. He wasn't yet out of Eretz Yisrael, he was going on his way out. And in the Sedra ends up, Vakorahum Machanoim, he came back to Eretz Yisrael, and Machanoim is the exchange of Malochim who were accompanying him back to the Malch Eretz Yisrael, so he's back in Eretz Yisrael again. So it's a unit, a whole unit there. And you might say, if you want, that there was no Hesach Hadas, there was continuous, uninterrupted protection of Chutz Loretz Malochim in this Sedra, and the next Sedra it's others, other Malochim. That's another reason why it's complete, which, by the way, if you do learn it like that, it would fit in very well with Parshas Vayechi. The Sedra Vayechi is again one-off, only one, where there's no space even for, of one word, not a new paragraph, which starts on the same line as previous Sedra ends, Vayechi. And Rashi there says, Loma Pashazu Stumo, Nistma Einem Shel Yisroel, etc., etc. And Rashi makes a drush. But if we explain it the way we explain Vayetze, remember that Vayigash ends off with the journey of Yaakov into Mitzrayim. Therefore, Vayechi carries on the last years of his life in Mitzrayim, and says, if it's Nistma, Stumo, locked together because it's one episode, like the episode of Vayetze. It's all Chutz Loretz story, and that's why it's Nistamo. It would be another explanation, apart from what Rashi brings. Anyway, Pasuk carries on. Vayifka b'mokoyim. Now, watch carefully what this word Vayifka means. In most places, Vayifka means a crash between two parties hitting each other, not just chancing upon, a collision of two things. That's the usual translation of Vayifka b'mokoyim. Or the word Vayifka. And it says, Kivo HaShemesh. Now, Kivo, well, you say it's past tense, but it's not past tense. Because in English, we have something, what we call pluperfect. That means, I say to you, last week I went to Manchester. That's past tense. If I say, last week I went to Manchester and I spoke to somebody there who I had spoken to the year before. I had is past of the past, pluperfect. And kivo is past of the past. You see this very clearly in Parshas Vayelo, when we start the Kriyas HaTorah of Rosh Hashanah, it says, Vashem pokad the sorrow. And Chazal comment on that, that whoever mispal bat chaveiroi hu nehenet chilo, whoever davens, and he also in need of that very same thing, that and he davens for his friend who needs it, not for himself who needs it, then he is answered before his friend gets is answered. Based on this pasuk, where's the evidence for that? It's simple, because the parsha beforehand, there's a parsha with Avimelech, which is a narrative piece. It starts with Vayisa Mishom Avram, Vayom Avram El Soro, Vayov Elohim, Vayom Elohu Elohim, Vayashke Avimelech, Vavoyke, Vayikra Avimelech, etc. All the way through. It's always with the Vav Hippoch, Va. Vav Hippoch is a Torah's method for conveying a narrative. This, and then this, and then this, and then. Narrative, one thing following another. When the Torah starts the new parsha of Sarah having a child, it does not say Vayifkat Hashem Sarah. It is stark contrast. Having said Vayava all the way through, it says Pokat Hashem Sarah. Ah, Pokat means she was it's pluperfect. She had already been remembered before Vayipoleim Asavraham Esavimelach. So Pokat is before. Kivo Hashem, which means the sun had already set. Now I'm just building up to make the case for this. Rashi tells the story. It's a long Rashi, Pasuk Yud Zayin, that the Avraham was on a journey. Yaakov was on a journey, starting in Be'er Sheva. Yes, Yaakov Be'er Sheva. He was walking north, past Yerushalayim, past a place called Luz, and then he reached Choron. He didn't go into Choron itself, maybe, but he reached somewhere near Choron. And at that point, there were two regrets. One, Yaakov regretted that I've passed the place where my father's davened, and I didn't take the opportunity to daven. The wording in itself is interesting, that one should pay some attention to where did your father daven, which shul, and what seat, and I should don't daven at that place as well. And so he then decided to do a U-turn. He started walking back, and he got as far as Luz. And as Igmar tells us in Chulin, then a Kodesh Baruch Hu expressed regret. How come that I let him go? I should have kept him here for the night. I don't know why. Kodesh Baruch wants a person to stay for the night. Never mind davening, I want him to stay for the night. And he was now in a place called Luz, still further north. So Rashi says that the Kodesh Baruch did an ace, called it Kvitzah, Rashi calls it Kvitzah Derech, I mean the Gemara calls it Kvitzah Derech, that Yerushalayim was uplifted and taken to Luz. That what that means is impossible. It's difficult enough to conceive Eliezer's Kvitzah Derech. He was in the morning here and the afternoon there, in such a huge distance. Inconceivable. But this is even more inconceivable. What happened was, apparently, Yerushalayim was uplifted and taken to Luz. And in that place, Luz, which is where as far as he got, this man hasn't spent the night in my mokum, my Mesamikdosh. So I'll move Mesamikdosh, the mokum place, over to Luz, and then he'll sleep there, and then he slept where I want, in my place. Inconceivable nace. I mean, I don't know how to understand it, because does it mean there was a crater in Jerusalem, the big crater where the Mokum Migdash had been lifted up and taken away? And doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash or in Chazal, as far as I know, that it was ever put back again. So I really do not know how to understand, unless you want to understand only in a spiritual sense.
Do we know where Luz was or is? Do we know where Luz
the Torah says where it is, but it won't help you. Because it says that Yaakov Avinu woke up in the morning and he said, "Vayashkin Yaakov Baboika, Vayukah Hashem Okamahu Beis El." He called it Beis. And the Gemara says that Yaakov named Yerushalayim Beis. Yitzchok had another name, Avram had another name for it. Yaakov called it Beis El. V'ulam Luz Shemayel Lulishona. That place was actually Luz. So he actually lay down in Luz, and he woke up. Here I am in Yerushalayim. Or maybe it means the Kedushas Yerushalayim came there. I really don't know what it means. It's
inconceivable.
But Yaakov wasn't in Yerushalayim, because Rebbe said, I don't want him to stay in Luz overnight. I want him to come to Yerushalayim overnight. So it seems Hakadosh Baruch didn't see it that way. I don't know.
Didn't he see in the dream the Malachim changing from Malachim?
Okay, fine. I'm not disagreeing, but how to understand what this means is beyond comprehension. Now that must beg the question: because when it does nisim or shinu ateva, does so for good reason. For what reason did Akash Rokha make the nes for Eliezer, and what would be if it had gone normal pace and got a day or two later to the Ramnarayim, to the Ilochor? So what? And what would be, why did Kuzboka make such a spectacular nace? The Ramban, when he asks questions on Rashi, because this is Rashi's explanation. One of the questions Ramban lines up against Rashi is, why didn't, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to uplift Yerushalayim, could have taken it from there, taken it to Cholon. He could have had his Yerushalayim in Cholon. Why did he have to wait for Ayakvin to arrive in Luz?
Should his own effort first.
Maybe. That's not what the Ramban says. The Ramban goes away on another angle, and he says that the Kvitz HaDerech, oh, he asks another question as well. But if the Gemara says three people had Kvitz HaDerech, they must be similar to each other. Eliezer's Kvitz HaDerech was, he reached his destination sooner. In which case, Yaakovinu must be the same thing. I'm telling you a different story, according to Rashi. So as Ramban, therefore, it must be, Kvitz HaDerech was, he left home and got to Cholon in quick time. That's Kvitz HaDerech. That's Ramban's pshat. And then Ramban, they cannot, he's got loads of questions on Rashi. And he acknowledges Rashi is based on the Medrash. So again, where am I standing? I don't know. Ramban agrees or doesn't agree? I don't know.
Maybe Eliezer had to get to Choron before somebody else came along and asked for the hand of Ruppel.
Maybe, but I don't know. Normally,
lots of practical solutions there.
Maybe that's the answer. We don't know. We're not told specifically so that anybody was in line for the Shidduch for Rivka. We don't know about any of these things. Okay, I don't know. You're asking me. I don't know at all. I'd like to suggest to you the answer of why this nace took place, particularly Rashi's version of the nace, and it is based on Ma'aseh Ovis Siman Labonim, a rule. Now, what does this mean? So, the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha says the words are Komashi Ira La'Ovis Ye'ore Labonim. What happened to Ovis, that is a likely simon that it will happen to the children as well, later generations. So it starts with the Ovis, and it will continue into the Bonim. Rashi says the same thing in Parshas Ayesha, when he describes Yosef, it says, whatever happened to Yaakov, happened to Yosef as well. Starts with the Av and continues with the Bonim. However, when you look in the Medrash, you see a different angle on this Masa Ovis Siman Labonim. Says the Medrash, and its Medrash is in Vayetze, explaining our incident. Not al Kodesh Boko, Sichosin Shal Ovis, what that means I don't know. Valson, this is the word, Mafteach Labonim. Legeulosa, Legeulo Shal Bonim. What happened to the Ovis is the key for the Bonim. So it's the other way around. It starts with the Ovis, and it has an effect on the Bonim.
It will happen to the Bonim too.
Pardon? No, it's a Mafteh. The Bonim have something, and to get to achieve that, you need the Ovis first. It's the other way around. The starting point is the Bonim, and the Ovis come in on it. That's what Medrash says. We quote examples, the Medrash. Omer Ebelosa, Rashi, in this week's Seder, Kum, first Avraham Avinu, Kum Hisalech Ba'oretz, God has walked out Avraham, walk through the land of Eretz Yisrael, La'orko L'rochbo, Kilocho Et Neno, meaning, says Rashi, Kedei Shein Noyach Lichvosh Lifnei Bonov. The children are going to one day inherit this land. Therefore, I require you, Avraham Avinu, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I require you to walk through the land to prepare for that later. So the starting point is the Bonim, not the Ovis. And another example is in our Sedra. It says, Ki ha'aretz ato ato sholchei v'leho, the land, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov in the dream, where you are lying now, l'cho etneinu l'zeirachem, giving to the children, says Rashi, Kippel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, a mace which I cannot understand, because Kippel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol Eretz Yisroel, tachtov. The whole of Eretz Yisroel was underneath Yaakov as he was sleeping. I don't understand that. Why? His sons were able to capture the land. So the starting point is the sons need it, and therefore you must do that to prepare for them. It's a mafteach. That's the word of the Medrash. Now, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, here it is, Sanhedrin Sadiches, a famous piece of Gemara, everybody knows this one, that Sanhedrin, that's the other page. Oh, Rabbi Shu ben Levi Ron, he asked a question. It says in the Pasuk, Ani Hashem b'ito achisheno. The Gula Asida will be b'ito achisheno. So he asked a question, Abram Shub ben Levi. Is Gula going to come in its fixed time, and it must be, or achisheno, I'll bring, speed it up, it'll come forward. That's his question. The Pasuk says both. Says the Gemara answers that Zochu, Achishen, if they're worthy, it'll become sooner. And Loi Zochu, Be'ito, I'll have to wait till its designated time. So we can bring forward the Gula, if according to our behavior, and not only our behavior, but the behavior of the whole wild world. B'yas HaMashiach is nothing like Napoleon, who came speeding on a fast horse and waving his large sword and conquering lands. Moshiach is a very humble figure. I used to think that Moshe Feinstein was Moshiach, but he was a little chappy. It was so quiet. But he was the Poisek Ador and still remains so. And if I tell you a Shia, I say, Moshe says, you know I mean Moshe Feinstein, I don't mean anybody else. And somehow he's remained, even 20, 30 years later, the Poisek Ador, even after his time.
Surely Mashiach will be like a Novi. He'll be tall and rich and handsome.
It seems not. Mashiach will be riding on a donkey, not on a horse. And somehow, which I can't explain it to you, I don't know at all, he will change. Oni, yeah. Oni, so humble little poor man, you know, hardly noticeable, riding on a donkey, not on a horse. The world order today is millions of miles away from Mashiach. There's very little recognition in the wide world of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Comes Mashiach, there'll be a new world order. There'll be no wars. We won't capture Eretz Yisrael and fight for it. There'll be a world order of recognizing this. What is Hashem? We vorach kabos Hashem kachshoy lo ilam v'ed. That's what's going to be. The whole world, mindset of the world order will change. I don't know how. And this can happen very suddenly. That is why Kodesh Baruch made the nace. Yaakov Avinu found himself suddenly in Yerushalayim. Well, at least Yerushalayim came to him. For what purpose? Why did Kodesh Baruch the nace? Because since it needs to happen to the Bonim, has to be for the Bonim. There will be a time, and one day, whoops, pop, Mashiach is here. Oh, really? Oh. I didn't know it was coming even a minute ago. Since that's going to be the case, therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it happen to Yaakov Avinu that he had the Kvitz HaDerech of Yerushalayim, suddenly finding himself in the Mokam HaMikdosh, to prepare for this to happen to the Bonim. Now, this doesn't explain Eliezer. Well, I haven't got enough time to explain Eliezer. But just very quickly then. Eliezer had nothing to do with Beis HaMikdosh. So why did he get Kvitz HaDerech? The answer to that one is also in a Medrash. The Medrash says, Yofasi Chosen Shalbonim Mitzvah Rosen Shalovis. What the children talk of is mighty important. The proof being, says the Pasuk says, V'yit Mispoi Lagmalim. He gave hay to the Gmalim, water to the for the people and to them, for the camels. What's all this important for? Ah, apparently it is important. Yofasi Chosom. And that's the Medrash on the Pasuk, Yitin Tevin Misbe Lagmani. But Rashi does a U-turn on it. Rashi quotes this Medrash later on when Eliezer is talking. He says, I arrived at the well. And I arrived today. Hayom Yitzosi, Hayom Bosi. Says Rashi, oh, that Pasuk brings this Medrash, Yofasi Chosom. But it's out of place. Medrash is written somewhere else, another Pasuk. Why did Rashi say it here? Because that is the ultimate Sichoson. That we talk about the Nisim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make Kvitz HaDerech. Talk about these tremendous miracles which we don't even understand. That is the Sichoson. That's the main Sichoson. And that we should talk about Nisim all the time. It's a Chanukah subject, and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those Nissim. That is Yofi Sichos, and that is so wonderful in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, more than the Torah of the others. And that's why, that's the Eliezer's. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Yeah, okay.
You mentioned the beginning, the third one was Avichai.
Avishai. Yeah. I don't know. I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it.
Right.
Okay. So just a thought to take on for Shabbos.
On the Seder, there's a very fundamental questions that sometimes elude us. And we get into the complications of the Seder, but sometimes you think about it, Yaakov Avinu was deceived by his father-in-law. He worked 7 years for Ruchel. The day after Chasni found out it was Leah. 7 years he worked with alacrity and with great self-sacrifice in order to marry a particular lady, only to be switched. Now, we know the story as it unfolds. Luvon came to him and he said to him, La Yusachim bim kemaini, Lusatzir, Shine Masa. But the bottom line is, why did Yaakov not get up the next day, say to his father in law, Listen, Mchilis Kevoitchu, you're a crook, you're a liar, you're a cheat. You know very well what we undertook. The agreement was Beruchel Bitcho Aktano. And after all this, you still manage to switch her. It's time to say goodbye. Let's part ways. And I'm off. I take my two wives because I married Leo after all. I worked for Ruchel. I'm entitled to her. I want to make the chasna now, by all means. I want to pay for the sheiruchas. But isn't it time to part ways? So, I heard once a master that happened by Rav David Feinstein, and there was a buch in Misifta Teferes Yerushalayim, which was, as Rav Doni just mentioned early on, famous son of Rav Moshe Feinstein. And there was a bal tefila, and like everywhere else, they had the meaning that in yeshiva that one of the buchim was a bal tefila for that week, and he davened. And unfortunately, it can happen in the best of yeshivas that the boy got into a twaddle, and by the time he came to Bruch Olayni, he got nervous, and he didn't know what he was saying, v'sayin talemuta, v'sayin mashevuriach emoirat ha-geshem, v'sayin whatever he was, but he was finished, he was not quite sure, see, he was up to tal or geshem, or bevurach hanushem, or whatever it was. There was a confusion, and of course, all the boys there in the Challe, Talmid Chachomim, all armed with their Mishnah Briris, ready to pounce, screaming and shouting, Hey, Tzriga, in Unheim, Museven! And Abduvid is standing in the front. Abduvid calmly walks over to the boy. The boy was mamash red in the face. He said to him, Just carry on. The boy was relieved and carried on davening. Until he got to the end of it. No, Steitzach after davening, there was a long line of contestants coming to the Rosh Hashiva. Steitzach after Mishnebrurim, after that. And he said, I have a shrewd idea what it's written in the Mishnebrurim. I also had learned it at one stage in my life. But I'm also aware of a chazal which says, Amal b'pnei chavayre b'rabim, and therefore I could see this boy's face was changing color. And he was embarrassed. He felt humiliated. And I would have been guilty of letting this happen with emotional assassination. And I didn't want it to happen. So, Memaila, I told him to continue because I felt that it was the right thing to do. And although there was an upheaval, but the message was clear. Now, if you think about it, if Yaakov Avinu worked for Ruchel for 7 years, day, night, winter, summer, heat, cold, and then after this deception, his father-in-law presents him with another sister, and he walks off with them both. It's almost like a Tesco job, you know? Buy one, get one free. And imagine how Leah would have felt. She came onto the bandwagon as a hitch, so to speak, that really she knew very well who he had worked for. And with all that, so Yaakov Avinu said to himself, you know what, for the feelings and for the sentiments, the sensitivity of a sister, I'm going to do exactly the same as I did for the first, notwithstanding the deception and the, how do you say, the chicanery of Luvon. I will work 7 more years so that Leah will feel that she also received equal care in order, and equal, I say, avoided in order to achieve and to get her as a wife. That was part one. The other one I heard was also, there was something thinking just a little bit out of the box. I heard from Rav Shraga Favel Zimmerman years ago, I hope I got it right, but I think I understood him. And he said that by Leah, she had children afterwards. So the Rebbein Shavad Rachmunas, because she didn't win the affections in her mind of her husband in the same way that Ruchel, who was really the Akeres Abayis, which Chazal mentioned over and over to say that she was really the Eishes Yaakov. But the Masa, Leah had child one. She had Riven, Shimon, Levi, all very well. He came to Yehuda, you have the famous words, Apam, Oides Hashem. Oh, Yetzelach, Dank, thank you, Bashefa, you gave me this child, the fourth child. What's the push pshat in that? Simple. You have four Imrois. Everyone knew the Nevi'ah, the designated of 12 Shvuta. Each mother has got 3 children, equal package, 4 mothers, 3 children each, totaling 12 shvuta. So, I've had my 3, that was my allotment, but now the Rebbein Shlom gave me a 4th child. Now the question really was, that on Apamoy des Hashem, how can we say that Leah was exceptional in her thanking of the Rebbein Shlom? Chazal noted so many times before how many great men thanked the Eibishter. You had Avraham Avinu who thanked the Eibishter over and over, Yachshavelo Tzduker, and you had Eliezer Eved Avraham who thanked the Rebbein Shloim Veikud Arzu Vayishtachil Hashem. You had the famous Yaakov Avinu also here now in this seven Yelekim Yehudi Vashivanim to give him Asas Reniloch, the thanks, the appreciation for the goodness of God. What's so special about a woman who now had a 4th child that she thanks God? Why is this thank you so different to all the others? So he said that a cheshbon which we just made, which means that each mother has 3 children, this means that there is a certain sense of entitlement. I deserve it. 4 mothers, 3 children each, and I had my 3 children. Something happened when the 4th one was born. And she recognized that it wasn't just a bonus child. There was something which was a depth of understanding that now she recognized that since there's no entitlement and you're not deserving anything, the Eibishter is gunish shilvi. God doesn't owe you anything. And every child that you've got is a bonus. Every child that you've got deserves a different level of thanks. And the hapam, oides Hashem, that she expressed at this point was to thank the Rebbeinu Shlom for Reuven, for Shimon, for Levi, because every one of those took on a different perspective. This was a gift from the Rebbeinu Shlom. That means that there was suddenly an understanding, a completely deep depth of understanding of how to thank the Rebbeinu Shlom for every single nefesh, for every single child. That type of thank you was unique to Leah. Memaila hapam, oides Hashem. This time it's finally registered with me the level of appreciation and thanks that I've got to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Not just because I've had a 4th child, but because I had the 1st child. And the 2nd child, and the 3rd child, because I don't deserve and I'm not entitled to anything. And that's maybe the message that we get from this particular parsha, to recognize that every single thing that we get from the Rebbein Shloim in our lives is an Emerson, a bonus. We get up in the morning, we open our eyes, it's all a bonus. Shabbos.
Coming with food is the kitchen, and some refreshments as well. Terrific.
I don't know.